Well, we give everyone a very warm welcome once again to the meeting this evening, and we trust that God will bless us as we're here under the sound of his word this evening. Once again this week, I don't know that I could really have picked any better hymns than the ones that Stephen picked, and indeed some of the ones that were picked before the meeting started this evening, because the burden of my heart this evening really concerns the words that are written behind me. What think ye of Christ? You see, that's the most important question that we can ask ourselves this evening. The most important matter that we need to get to grips with tonight. Because what we think of Christ and our attitude towards him now will determine our destiny for eternity. There's a verse that's found in John chapter 3 and it's verse 18. It says this, it says, he that believeth in him, that is in the Lord Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. At the end of John's Gospel, in John chapter 20, John wrote these words. He says that there's many other things that he could have written that are not written in this book. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You see, the determining factor on whether you and I will be in heaven is not what we've done. It's not how good we've been. It's not how many times we've come to a place like this on a Sunday evening. But it's quite simply what we've done with the Lord Jesus and what he means to us. As you would go through the Gospels, you would find a number of different reactions and a number of different valuations to the Lord Jesus. This is by way of introduction before we turn to the Scriptures this evening. I'm in a strange position this evening of having some thoughts kind of laid out before me. But more than the thoughts that are laid out, just an overarching burden this evening. You see, there was a time when the Lord Jesus was in a house, and they were sat down at the table. And into that house there came a woman. And this woman, she came and she was carrying a box. And this was an alabaster box. And inside this alabaster box there was very precious ointment, the Bible tells us, very costly. There were some that were quick to put a valuation on it when they saw what she did with it, and they said it could have been sold for over a year's wages. That's how much it was worth. And this woman, as she came and she poured it out upon the Lord Jesus. She broke her box and she poured out the ointment upon the person of the Lord Jesus, and the house was filled with the odour, with the smell of the ointment. And you could see in this act a gesture of love, a gesture of devotion, a gesture of the fact that the Lord Jesus meant more to this woman than something that she had treasured, maybe, something that had been saved up. And you can see something of what the Lord Jesus meant to this woman. We were singing, weren't we? Have you found The Saviour precious, more than all on earth besides. There were those sitting round that table who could look back to a time in their life when they had forsaken everything to follow the Lord Jesus. They'd left everything behind. They'd left their business behind. Mind you, on the time when it says that about Peter, he'd just had the greatest catch of fish, I judge, that he'd ever had in his life. He'd had a bumper catch. It was the work of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus said, cast your nets over onto the right side of the boat. And they found. And he left it all behind. And he left family behind to follow the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus meant more to Peter, to Simon Peter, than anything else. And I ask you again this evening, have you found the Saviour precious? To go back to the meal and to what the lady did as she poured out her ointment upon him. We have her love and her devotion. But there were some sat round there. And they said, what a waste. What a waste. What is the point of this waste? What is the purpose of this waste? Is what the Bible says. Well, they didn't value the Lord Jesus, did they? They looked and they said, and they put a monetary value on what she'd done. You know what she'd done? There's no monetary value can be placed upon it. You see, the Lord Jesus is looking for our hearts. And there's no value that can be put upon that. He's looking for our love. He deserves our love. And he deserves our devotion. And there's no value can be put upon that. No monetary value. And they said, what a waste. There was one particular man, his name was Judas Iscariot, and he went out from there. And he went to see the chief priests. And it was this that really got my mind thinking along the lines that we were thinking this evening. Because he went and he promised them. He said to them, what will you give me? And I'll hand him over to you. What will you give me? And I'll betray him to you. And it says they covenanted with him. They promised him 30 pieces of silver. It's nothing. Nothing. In the Old Testament, 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. And that was the value that Judas Iscariot placed upon the Son of God. That was the value that Judas placed upon the Lord Jesus. For him to hand him over to those who would crucify him. Let's turn to the scriptures this evening. I want to read in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 19. And it's the Lord Jesus speaking. The other week I was speaking and we were looking at the closing verses of chapter 7, the end of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. This comes a little bit before it. In verse 19, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look to the Lord to bless to us the reading of his word and other scriptures that we'll maybe come to in the course of the meeting this evening. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to ask you this evening what it is that you value in life. What is it that means much? Or maybe what is it that means most to you? You see, treasures aren't just gold and silver and precious stones, are they? Well, they can be that. And there are people that spend their time amassing money for themselves, aren't there? But the treasures in general are far more wide than that, isn't it? It's really anything of value, anything that we prize, anything that we find very, very difficult to give up, anything that really means an awful lot to us. And the Lord Jesus is talking and he says, look, don't treasure up for yourselves treasures on earth. You see, we can spend our time amassing things, even surrounding ourselves with people that we value. And to a certain extent, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want to do this evening is to turn our gaze heavenward. You see, everything that we have on earth, even the relationships that we have, the money that we have, the houses that we have, the things that we have, the things that we amass around ourselves, they're only temporary, aren't they? There's a verse in one of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. It talks about this. It says that the things that are seen are temporal. They are things of time and sense. Not only are they temporal, but they are temporary. That is, that they don't last. They're not forever. It says, but the things that are not seen are eternal. It's difficult sometimes, isn't it, to value the things that we can't see. It's difficult sometimes, isn't it, to think that the things that we can't see are actually more important than the things that are all around us. But the Lord Jesus says that the things that are worth having are the things that you can't see. The things that are worth having are the things that are laid up in the presence of God. Peter would speak about them. He would speak to Christians in the first chapter of his first letter, and he would talk about being born again, being begotten unto an inheritance that is incorruptible. That is, it doesn't rot, and it doesn't decay, and it's undefiled, it's untarnished, and it fades not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you, he says to the Christians to whom he's writing. Mind you, that's something that's worth having, isn't it? Everything around us is subject to decay, isn't it? Everything around us, ourselves included, are subject to decay. And it fades away. And the most glittering and the most brightly dazzling of things, they just lose their luster over time. But I want us to direct our gaze this evening heavenwards. And the Lord Jesus says, he says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moss nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There are people in the Gospels They found this really, really difficult. There was one man in particular. He was what you would call a rich young ruler. And he came to the Lord Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus answered him in line with the question that he asked. Or he says, "What's written in the law? What does the law of God say that you have to do if you want to get eternal life?" And this man, he started quoting the Ten Commandments to him, particularly the manward aspects. You're not to kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, and so on. And the Lord Jesus says, that's right, you've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. For the law of God stands as a perfect standard, a perfect code of conduct. And the law of God stands with this written over it, do this, and you will live. There's just one problem. And there's one thing that the Lord Jesus really was looking for the man to acknowledge. And that is, we can't do it. We can't do it. We cannot keep the law of God. And yet the man says, all this I've done from my youth up. What lack I yet? He knew he lacked. He knew he'd not got it. He knew that there was something missing. And in his case, the Lord Jesus put his finger on it. He says, go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Says the Lord Jesus, really, I want you to give up everything for me. I want you to give up everything for me. And really, that's what he's asking from us this evening. I want you to give up any thought that you can save yourself. I want you to give up any idea that you can work for your own salvation. I want you to give up any idea that you're good enough in your own strength. And I want you to come to me. I want you to leave your sin behind. I want you to turn round. I want you to acknowledge in the presence of God that you've done wrong. I want you to acknowledge that you don't deserve the salvation of God. For we don't. Not a single one of us deserves to be in heaven. Says the Lord Jesus, I want to be everything to you and in your life. The hymn that we were singing said, have you found the Saviour precious? It's not unreasonable what he's asking, you know. Says the Lord Jesus, if you're prepared to give up everything for me, you'll have treasure in heaven. The Lord Jesus is promising you this evening eternal life. He's promising you a home in heaven. He is promising you an eternity with God, enjoying the glory and the splendour of God's heaven with the Lord Jesus, your Lord and Saviour. But that's not why I'm urging you to trust the Lord Jesus this evening. The reason that I would give you this evening to plead with you to yield your life completely and totally over to the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour is that he's given up everything for you. He left behind the splendour of heaven, the adoration of angels, the glory of the immediacy of the presence of God. And he came down here. And he came down here not to a palace, but to a manger. He came down here not to a golden crib, but to a cattle's feeding trough. He came down not to the warmth and the brightness of the palace, but to the outside place at Bethlehem. He came not to be adored by everybody, but to be hated and despised and to be crucified. He came down from heaven to give up his life and to bear in his own body the punishment for our sins so that we could have treasure in heaven, so that we could be in heaven, so that we could have eternal life, so that, as one of the verses that we might have come to, if I'd turn to it, so that our names could be written in heaven. Yeah, that's amazing. Every single one of us have got our names written on earth. Every single one of us has got a birth certificate, whether we've ever seen it or not. Every single one of us has our parentage written on this sheet of paper that we might have a copy of, but is kept. And it's kept in store by the, wherever it is, in the records department somewhere. Every single one of us, our names are written in earth, but, you know, our names can be written in heaven. And we can be written in amongst the family of God. And we can be written in amongst the saved. And we can be written in amongst the ones that will never be lost. Because the Lord Jesus is our Saviour. The Lord Jesus died for us. And we've accepted him as our Lord and Saviour. Is your name written in heaven? Is your name written in heaven? It could be tonight if it's not there already. All it takes is a simple step of obedience and trust. A simple step of coming to the Lord Jesus and trusting him as your Saviour. Treasure in heaven. Mind you, the greatest thing, I guess, about heaven, let's look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21 says this. It says our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. Now that's amazing. See, the Philippian, the people at Philippi would have known something about what that meant, because they, although they lived in Greece, or Macedonia technically, although they lived in Macedonia, they were citizens of Rome. And Philippi was governed by the laws of Rome, and it was just a little colony. It was a little mini Rome, all the way away, however many hundreds of miles it was, away from Rome itself. And Paul's writing to these Christians at Philippi, and he says, look, just like you're citizens of Rome, which is all those many miles away, you as Christians are citizens of heaven. And he says, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we thought of treasure in heaven, we thought of names being written in heaven. This is the wonderful thing about heaven. And that's that we've got a Saviour in heaven. So ask you this evening, have you got a Saviour in heaven? Oh, we speak about the Lord Jesus, and he's the one who was here, and he's the one who was crucified in shame and in humiliation on the cross all those years ago. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he isn't just turned to dust in some tomb there in Palestine, is he? For he's risen again from the dead. And he's ascended into heaven. And today, those of us that are Christians can look to heaven. And we say, in heaven is my Saviour. In heaven is my Saviour. I want to ask you tonight, have you got a Saviour in heaven? Have you got a Saviour in heaven? He's a mighty Saviour. He's conquered death. He's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's abolished death. He's the one who lives in the power of an endless life. And his promise is that those who trust in him, because I live, he says, you shall live also. And look at this, he says, who shall change our vile body. Well, that's maybe an unfortunate translation, I guess, when we think about it in today's language. But it's a body of humiliation. It's a body that's subject to decay. It's a body that's subject to sin. It's a body that lets us down. A body in which we fail time and time and time and time again. Oh, he says he's going to change it. This Saviour that we have, this Saviour that's dealt with our sins, this Saviour that's borne the penalty of our sins and has taken the punishment for our sins, and has gone into death, and has risen again from the dead, and has ascended into heaven, he's going to come again, and he's going to change our bodies, and he's going to change them and fashion them like unto his body of glory, unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. What a Saviour we have. What a Saviour there is in heaven. That's where he is. He's not going to stay there. He's coming back. He's coming back for those of us that have put our trust in him, and he's going to change us. Says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I'll show you a mystery. He says, we'll not all sleep, we'll not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It says this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Well, that's all found in the Saviour, in the Lord Jesus. It's not found in my efforts. It's not found in anything that I have or anything that I can offer to God. It's all found in what he has done for me. I want to ask you this evening, have you got a Saviour in heaven? A Saviour in heaven? You see, he's the greatest treasure that heaven has. Oh, he's the one who means everything to the heart of the Father. He's the one who means everything to every single Christian here. Says Paul in Colossians chapter 3, he says, set your affection on things above. Let's quote it properly. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You know, for those of us that are Christians this evening, everything that we have, and everything that we are, and everything that we ever hope for, and everything that we ever hope to be, it's all bound up in the person of the Lord Jesus. Ask you again. Have you found the Saviour precious? What think ye of Christ this evening? What does the Lord Jesus mean to you? If it doesn't mean everything, are you going to change that this evening? If he's not your Saviour tonight, if your name isn't written in heaven tonight, what are you going to do about it? We're not here forever. Time passes quickly, doesn't it? I can hardly believe it's so few days till Christmas again. So I'm not going to mention that, are we? And then to the end of another year. And to the start of another year in the will of God. And time just marches on and on and on and on and on. We haven't got forever to make up our minds. We haven't got forever to straighten out our priorities. We haven't got forever to sort out where our treasure really is. And where we really want it to be. I urge you this evening, if you've never done it before, trust the Lord Jesus Christ this evening as your Saviour. Take him as your Lord. Forsake everything. And follow him. He's worth it. It's worth it. Doesn't matter. Our names might not be important here. We might not have much down here. But in Christ, we have absolutely everything. Father, we thank thee for this time that we've had together this evening. And we thank thee again for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Father, for what he means to each one of us here that knows him as our Saviour. And Father, we remember that there was a time when we esteemed him not. There was a time, our Father, when we didn't place any real value upon him. And Father, we thank thee for opening our eyes. And we thank you for the day in our experience when we came to trust him as our Saviour. Father, it's our desire that everyone here tonight might have that same experience. Might come just to consider just what he's done for us in giving himself. And that they might just come to him in simple faith. Our Father, we just ask thy blessing to be upon thy word this evening. Bless us as we go our separate ways. We commit ourselves to thee as we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.